come, when you come here, amen, and that God has helped us keep the doors open. Amen. I know there's a lot of businesses and there's a lot of churches and that have gone out of business. Amen. But I believe that the Lord have us here for a reason. Amen. And that's the reason of saving souls. Amen. And being a blessing to the Lord. Amen. And His kingdom. Amen. The Lord is soon to come, and we have to honor the commission that He gave to us, is to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. So when I hear and I see of new churches, I praise God, especially in the apostolic faith. Amen. There are lots of other churches that are coming up that are in it just for the prosperity. Amen. They just want you to bring your money. They don't care about your souls. But I thank God that we are in the business of saving souls. And until the Lord comes again, that's what we'll do. We'll just be in the business of saving souls. You know, and that's kind of like the mortuary. They'll never go out of business. And one young man who works for it says, "Oh, I got good job security. People are just dying to get in here." I said, "Okay, you're right." Amen. So we're in the, until God comes and catches His church away, we're in the business of saving souls. Amen. That is our ultimate goal, amen, is to be kingdom builders and save souls for Jesus Christ, amen. I just have a short message for us today. It's going to be found have a couple of scriptures, the Old Testament in Joel, amen, Joel the second chapter. I think read verses 12 through 20, Joel, second chapter, verses 12 through 20, and if you mark that, I think we'll also stay in the Old Testament, and we'll go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. God bless you. Be 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And then to bring it all together, we're going to go to James in the New Testament. James 4. And we'll read a couple of verses there, 8 through 10. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 20. And then did you get Chronicles, 2 Chronicles?
I'll get that, 2 Chronicles.
Uh-huh. Just one verse there, 7 chapter and the 14th verse. And then we're going to end up in James, New Testament. James 4, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. 8 through 10. Amen. I just hope that the Lord gives you something out of what He's given me. It's like Aaron always says that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can study and You just think you're all prepared, and then God gives you something else at the last minute. Amen. So we just have to be receptive and know that God knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Amen. So Joel, second chapter, verses 12-20. It reads, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious in mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpets of Zion, sanctify and fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Therefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied wherewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive them into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east seas, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things." Amen. What did I say? Second Chronicles. Let us go to Second Chronicles, and we'll read 7th chapter, 14th verse. Amen. This is a familiar scripture to people that know the Bible. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." Amen. Heal their land. Amen. Now, the New Testament. Let's see what Brother James has to say. Fourth chapter, and we'll start at the 8th verse. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Sounds simple to me. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Amen. Humble yourselves under God. A lot of churches, ministers, people in authority, sometimes people allow authority to overrun their consciousness. Power to some people is more than riches. When they can have power over you, then they consider that to be the ultimate.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I said to humble yourself under God. Amen. Not unto Aaron, not unto me, but unto God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, Jesus' name people, people that have been baptized, who have repented of their sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, filled with his precious Holy Ghost, bear his name. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves. Amen. Now, the key word here is humble. Amen. We're living in a very proud age. When it is a major, major operation, even for the people of God, to humble themselves. Nobody wants to be humble. Everybody is concerned about their rights. And nobody is concerned about God's rights, which is the only right. James tells us in chapter 4 and verse 6 that God resisteth the proud. And giveth grace to the humble. Grace is honor. God gives us to us when we humble ourselves. Amen. Because we see the need of it. We pray and we're thankful for it. The saints of God should forsake the friendship of the world and submit ourselves entirely to God. In this day and time that we're living, which is the end times. We know that because of the prophecy, the fulfillment of the prophecies. None of us know the time or the hour that he's coming, but we know he's coming, and he's coming soon.
Yes.
I'm not saying that, it's like Brother Karen was saying, you have friends that are not saved. I'm not advocating that you don't have nothing to do with them. Amen. When I say friendship of the world, I mean doing the things that they love to do.
Amen.
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 Because once you are saved and filled, baptized, saved and filled, you become a new creature. You don't do the things that you used to do. On my own testimony, I was a person who every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. I'm not proud of that, but it's a testimony that I have that God healed me from. He took it away from me. I didn't really realize how offensive and bad it was until somebody taped me. I said, who is that? I mean, every other word that I was saying, I said, that can't be me. They said, that's you.
Lord, see that?
but we should forsake the friendship of the world and submit ourselves entirely to God.
Amen.
Amen. We must learn by grace to glorify in our submission to God, not only through fear. Now, we should fear God, because God is all powerful, and He can do what He wants to do. So we should fear Him, but we should do it through love.
Amen.
Through our love for what He does for us.
Yes.
For our love for the many blessings that He gives us. For our love for just being Himself. So that's why we should submit to Him. The heart, the soul,
yes,
that has rebelled must be brought back to God. The heart that is estranged,
yes,
must be reconciled back to God.
Yes.
Amen. To draw nigh to God, we have to clean our hands and to purify our hearts. To purify our hearts is to be sincere before God.
Yes.
Amen. Living for God is not a playful thing. It is a sincere undertaking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because the consequences are worth it. If we live and suffer for God, we will reign with God.
Amen.
But on the other hand, if we don't acknowledge God for who He is, then, like I said earlier, the road to hell, I believe the Bible says hell has enlarged itself.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it does.
Because there's going to be a lot of people who don't honor, who don't submit, who don't take this thing seriously. Amen. Times of contention and division are times of mourning. Not boasting and talking about each other. Amen? Our laughter turned into mourning and our joy to heaviness can have a twofold meaning. It can be a prediction of sorrow or a prescription of seriousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
It, like I say, is a time to lay aside your foolishness and folly.
Hallelujah.
Your sensual pleasures.
Yes.
And to indulge ourselves in the spirit of repentance.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Our humility must be before God, not each other.
Yes.
Amen. If we truly humble ourselves under God,
yes,
He will lift us up.
Yes, He will.
He will lift us out of trouble.
Yes.
He will lift our spirits and comfort us. Even if He don't take us out of it, He will comfort us,
yes,
while the trouble lasts.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. The highest honor in heaven will be the reward of the greatest humility on earth. Let me say that again. The highest honor in heaven will be the reward of the greatest humility on earth. Humble yourselves before God. The six things that God do hate, yea, the seventh, is an abomination unto Him. Now, topping this list is the proud look. You know, some people don't have a dime in their pocket. They don't have a thing to call their own.
Yeah.
But you can't touch them with a proverbial 10-foot pole.
Amen.
Now, even of us, those of us that have been blessed with a few material blessings, must realize that they come from God.
Amen.
For the Lord giveth, and the same God taketh away.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It's not the cars or the houses or the material things that are something. It's not us. Our lives don't consist of the abundance of things that we possess. Remember, I read a bumper sticker that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins."
Where would?
That's what I.
Amen.
I don't care how much you accumulate. The Bible said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm gonna leave."
All right.
That means that you cannot take any of this with you.
Any of it, not a thing.
And I'm gonna tell you, when you come before the Lord on Judgment Day, He's not gonna say, "Oh, Brother Aaron, you had a Jaguar, you had a fine house. I'm not going to judge you because Sister Carol didn't have as much as you. She just had a little shack. You know, she drove a Toyota. So I'm not going to judge you the way I judge her." I'm sorry, Sister Carol. I didn't. But I'm just trying to make a point that God is a honest God.
Yes, He is.
And He's going to judge us according to what we do for Him.
Amen.
Not for what we accumulate in this life.
Amen.
That's why Paul said to warn them that are rich in this world, for that they not put their trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, from whom all blessings flow.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not a long lesson, it's not a long sermon. So I know this is the holiday, and I just want to let people know that we must humble ourselves before God.
Amen.
That He might fulfill our every need.
Yes.
There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too small. God sits high and He looks low. He looks over all of us. It's like I said about the lady with the issue of blood. Some of us have to press. Some of us have to, it seems like, do more than others. But I tell you this, if you humble yourself before God, He will provide your every need.
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you. God continue to have mercy on you. That you feel the need, like the song say, get closer to Him.
Yes.
Amen. Get closer to Jesus, because His coming is at hand.
Yes, it is.
And He's coming for a church.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's coming for a people.
Yes.
That
Thank you, Jesus.
Is ready. That means that you have to repent from the sins that you do. Some people say, "Well, Pastor, I'm a good person. I don't do nobody wrong. Why should I have to repent?" when our forefather, Adam, and he is the forefather of all of us, I don't care what race, color, creed you are.
Amen.
Adam was our forefather. And when he sinned, it brought sin on everybody else that followed him. Everybody that's born of a woman is born into sin and shaping in iniquity. So that's why we have to repent. We have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not sprinkled. We have to be baptized. Baptized means to be submersed fully in water. To signify the death of Jesus Christ, who was buried in the tomb. Then God promised. He said, if you believe that I am who I am, that when you come up, I will fill you with my spirit.
Thank you.
And that is in evidence with you speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And when you do that, and you live for God, then you're ready. You're ready. You know, a lot of people say, God, when I'm first baptized, I wish God would come now. I wish he would come now. I'm so ready. But as you grow in Christ, as you live day to day, the devil is on his job. He hates that you've turned over that new leaf. He hates that you're ready to go with Jesus. So he's going to come with his cunningness. He's going to come with his tricks and try to persuade you to join him in hell. Because he knows that's where he's destined to go.
That's right.
And like I always like to say, misery loves company.
Thank you, Jesus.
The devil wants as many people as he can to join him in hell.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Just like heaven is a beautiful place, streets paved with gold, gates made out of pearls. I mean, he paints a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Hell is just the opposite.
Hallelujah.
There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will have the sensation of falling. You know how when you in an elevator or something, and or you go over a hill. I remember this one hill when I was a kid. We used to go over and we come down real fast and your stomach just dropped. You get that sensation. You will have that sensation for the rest of your life of falling, never hitting the bottom. But on top of that, your flesh will be burning.
Forever.
And you will never burn up.
No flesh. Soul.
Your soul. There you go. Your soul. I'm sorry. Your soul.
Yes, Lord.
Which is the essence of you.
Yes.
Will be burning.
Forever.
Now I know if any of us have ever tried to cook. Campfires, home, wherever. We felt the, you know, I try to teach my grandkids to stay away from the stove because it burns. We know what burns is.
Amen.
So if you know what burns is, you don't want your soul to be burning forever.
That's right.
So that's the opposite from heaven.
Hallelujah.
And there's only two places that we can spend eternity. That's in heaven or hell. God bless you. Keep you humble before him.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Yeah. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I heard him say about having a friend. Thank you, Jesus. Take that thing. Yeah.